Now, turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 11. As we continue now our study of the series of the book of Hebrews, we come back to it to verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 11, and I'll read down through verse 19. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as in the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. This ends the reading of God's Word. May the Holy Spirit enable us to be more than merely hearers, but to do what He has said. As we resume our series through the book of Hebrews, I thought it might be good to recap where we had been before the holidays. We had just begun Hebrews 11, and in verse 1, we saw a beautiful description of faith. Look back at verse 1 again, Hebrews 11, 1. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is based upon the promises of God as they are revealed in His Word. Faith is living with the rock-solid assurance that God will do what God has promised. In 1 Peter 1:8, Peter taught that you don't have to see in order to believe. He wrote in verse 8 of chapter 1, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Saving faith, the faith that results in a sinner becoming a child of God, is not dependent upon our ability to see the reward. We are completely confident that God will do what God has said. We trust God. We rely on God. God's people believe God's promises. The writer then began giving us examples of men and women in the Old Testament who were living proof that walking by faith is possible because God is reliable. We started with Abel, the second son of Adam and Eve. Then went on to Enoch, the great-grandfather of Noah. And then Noah was the last example of walking by faith that we considered prior to Thanksgiving. Today we come to the man that God chose to be the father of Israel. Through Abram, who later became Abraham, God's family became a whole nation. In the New Testament, the family is expanded even further as people like you and me, Gentiles like you and me, have come into the family of God. And we've been given the incredible privilege of being called God's children. We are God's people. We are the new Israel, those who have received Him and have been given the right to be called the children of God. We are the new Israel. We are God's people because we believe in God's promises and have been called His children by receiving Christ. Peter taught the same thing when he wrote that at one time you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We have become God's children by faith. We believe His promises. Now, if, for the most part, that's simple stuff. We understand what faith is. We know that. But I truly want us to learn today is that a faith like Abraham's is always visible. People should be able to see our faith. They should be able to know by looking at our obedience and our patience and our willingness to sacrifice that we are God's people. It should be visible. Let's start with the first one. God's people believe God's promises and are willing to obey without fear. That's what we see at the beginning of this story of Abram. Abraham believed God even when he did not know where God was sending him. Now, exactly how God called Abram, we don't know for sure. We don't know if it was an audible voice, if it came in a dream. We don't know. It doesn't give us the details of how. We simply know God called Abram, and Abram obeyed. God called him, and Abram obeyed. He left his family in Ur, the Chaldeans, to go to a land that God promised to him. Abraham's response, pack up his family, let's go. We obey because he trusted God. In verse 8, when it says that God called Abraham, I believe it means that God called Abraham out of his idolatry, out of the paganism that was prominent in Ur of the Chaldeans, and brought him into a relationship with himself. Abraham believed God. He became a believer. God revealed himself to Abraham and called him to a life of faith. The life of faith always begins with a willingness to leave our sin behind, leave the unbelief behind, and walk trusting in God. Trusting God. Faith, true faith, always leads to decisive action. It doesn't always mean you're going to have to leave your family, but there will be decisive action when you trust in God and He calls you to obedience. So at the age of 75, Abraham set out for the promised land. At 75 years old, to a land that he never had visited, knew nothing about, he simply was going to obey God. If I were Abraham, I would have wanted a few more details to eliminate my fear of the unknown. I like to know what's going to happen. It causes stress and anxiety and maybe even fear if I don't know what to expect. And I'm sure I'm a lot like many of you. We want to know the details. Give us the details, then we'll go. Abraham didn't need to have the details. He obeyed God. He packed up his family and left. There's no indication at all that there was any fear or bargaining on the part of Abraham. God called and he obeyed. He also didn't have the advantages of today that we have. He didn't have godly men and women to motivate him and encourage him and keep him going. I mean, think of how many people around you that you know are godly men and women that can help you and encourage you and pick you up when you're struggling with doubt. Abraham was by himself with his family. But he obeyed God. He also didn't have the written word of God to help him. Think about the richness of God's word and all the promises that we have contained in this simple book. Abraham simply received the call of God and obeyed. In the process, he discovered that God is always faithful. God's people obey God without fear of the unknown. I was trying to think how to illustrate this, and for some reason, my mind was taken back to my days in college. My first 2 years, I went here in Mid-America, and that was pretty easy compared to living life on a small mountain outside of Chattanooga. I had never experienced some of the things that I experienced there. Here in Kansas, you look in the sky, the clouds seem like they're a mile away. A beautiful, huge skies. There, the clouds sit on the mountain. I mean, there were times you could open the dorm. Our dorms were so narrow, I could open my window, open the door, and then the guy across the hall, he could open his door and his window, and the cloud literally would pass right through the building. They would sit so low. Sometimes they did seem to just sit there. I remember one time walking across campus with my buddy, and I won't tell you his name, you don't know him, but it would be an embarrassment to him. We were walking in the depths of this thick cloud, and he let out a belch. And sure enough, there was a professor right there. We couldn't see him, 10 feet in front of us. We were both so humiliated, and he elbowed me as if I did it. The clouds would get so thick that you couldn't see right in front of you. Now, you can imagine driving on those winding roads in such thick fog was very dangerous. But if you had to get somewhere, you had to do it. You drove by faith. You knew the road was there, even though you couldn't see very far out in front of you. You knew it was there, and you kept going slowly, but you kept going by faith, trusting that the road was still going to be there. Now, that's maybe not the best example of walking by faith, but you get the picture. We don't always know what's out there ahead of us, but we know who is. We know our faithful God will always be there. We know we can obey Him. We don't have to know the details of what's out there because we know who is there, and He will always be there with us. We can trust Him. We can live by faith. We can walk by faith without fear of the unknown. Maybe even on a Sunday like this right after Christmas, maybe you're here and you've heard the call of God to leave your life of unbelief and begin a new life of faith. Perhaps even you've heard this many times in the past and you've been waiting, you've been wondering, should I turn away from sin? Today's the day. Turn away from the unbelief. Turn away from sin. Leave it behind and walk by faith. Trust in this new life that God has promised. Abraham heard the voice of God and he believed God. And he responded in faith. What will you do? When God calls, will you respond? Obedient? Without fear? And keep walking by faith? Most of us have already made a commitment of faith to Christ many years ago. And yet today, possibly, we may be thinking that God is calling us to something more. And our response to the Lord should always be, Lord, I may not know what you want to do exactly with my life, but I'm yours. I belong to you. I will trust you. Thankfully, the Lord does oftentimes give us many details to spur us on. Sometimes we simply have to act in faith and trust Him with the details. God's people believe in God's promises, and we obey without fear of the unknown. Secondly, God's people believe God's promises and are willing to be patient without the need for instant gratification. That's probably a whole lot harder, isn't it? God's people believe God's promises and are willing to be patient without the need of instant gratification. Abraham believed God even when he did not know how God was going to fulfill this promise. In Genesis 12, when Abram was 75, he received the call from God. In Genesis 16, 11 years after that initial promise, Abraham becomes impatient. And he asks permission from his wife Sarah to lay with his handmaiden Hagar. And Hagar bears a son. They named him Ishmael, from whom we have the Arab people. In Genesis 18, 13 more years have passed. 24 years after that initial promise, God reminds Abraham that he's going to give him a son. 24 years after the initial promise. You see, we sometimes read this story and we think it all just happened, bang, 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 bang. 24 years of waiting for God to provide the fulfillment of this promise. Abraham is now 99 years old, and Sarah, his wife, is 90 years old. But in verse 12 of Hebrews 11, it says that he and Sarah were as good as dead. That phrase was actually a medical term referring to the inability to reproduce an offspring. In other words, medically and physically, when it came to the matter of childbearing, Abraham and Sarah were as good as dead. But God not only promised Abraham a son, but that his son would be as many as the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. God promised Abraham, I will make of you a great nation. So even though it was unnatural, unrealistic, and even though they stumbled, because it took an exceptionally long time to happen, they believed God. Look at verse 9 and 10 again, back in Hebrews 11. It says, by faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land. They're resident aliens in the promised land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward. He was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Abraham wasn't merely trusting God for a physical land. When he arrived in the land of promise, he lived in tents, like a nomad. Even in that day, tents were not considered permanent homes. He believed God. He believed that God would provide just as God had promised. But not merely a physical land, a city that is eternal, is designed by God. What a lesson for us today as well. The parallels between Abraham's life and the Christian life today, I don't think are that difficult to see. The world, this world, is not our home. Oh, we're blessed with physical property, when we're blessed with many things. But this world is not our home. And so I don't think we ought to work so hard trying to make ourselves cozy in it. In fact, it's dangerous when we get too comfortable in this world. As believers, we must be willing to walk by faith. But instead, we have a tendency to stockpile our possessions. Now, I'm not saying that owning possessions is a sinful thing. Of course not. Money and possessions in and of themselves are not sinful. But more often than not, these things tangle us up when we try to walk by faith, because we cling so much to the earthly. Don't place your hope, don't place your security on your earthly goods. Don't crave and demand instant gratification. Abraham knew that he had a permanent, eternal home built by God, and so he was willing to wait patiently for the promise to be fulfilled. However, he never saw God's earthly promise completely fulfilled. He waited and waited and waited. Often the hardest times for us as believers are those in-between times, the times that we have called to wait. Verse 13 says that these all died in faith, not having received the things promised. Now, initially, that sounds like God was unfaithful. I mean, God promised them these things, but it says that they all died not having received them. Is God unfaithful? They could see the promises coming, we're told, but they did not quite reach them. I think that's difficult for us because we do live in such a day of instant gratification. We want it now. We think that just because we do something for God or make request of God, that is going to happen. But in God's timing, it may not happen as quickly as you think. But Abraham did not stop believing God. Abraham waited patiently because God never breaks his promise. God's timing is not always our timing. But when God makes a promise, he will be faithful to fulfill what he has promised. When God says that he will send Jesus, and Peter and Paul and James and the other apostles all believed that they would see it in their day. They were all convinced that he was about to come back and take them home. He didn't come. The fathers of our faith have all believed that, have all trusted that it could be at any moment that Christ will come back, and he hasn't come. Is God unfaithful? Absolutely not. God's timing is not always our timing, but God always fulfills his promises. When he says that he will send Jesus, he will send Jesus. When God says that he will never lose one of his sheep, he will never lose one of his sheep. God is faithful. And I know that we want to believe in God's promises. We do. We want to. But doesn't it sometimes feel like God has put our life on hold? You know he has promised these things, but boy, sometimes it seems like we're just stuck in a holding pattern. And is he still there? Abraham and Sarah must have felt that way at times. For 24 years, they waited for the fulfillment of a son. As time went on, they passed the normal age of childbearing, and the waiting became even more difficult. Even Abraham attempted to manufacture God's promise in his own way, but it only produced devastating results, enmity and conflict that would go on for millennia. As we wait, it would do us well to remember this one simple, important principle. Waiting time is never wasted time. Waiting time is never wasted time. As long as you continue to trust God. Because you know what God's doing. You know his promises in his word. You know what he has assured us in his word that he is always doing. He is at work in you, completing what he has begun in you. He is not finished. He hasn't taken a break from you. He's still at work. He may not be fulfilling your expectations as fast as you would like, but he hasn't stopped working. He is continuing to make you more and more like his son. You may have to wait, but again, remember that God's timing is always right. God's people believe God's promises and are willing to wait for them to be fulfilled in his timing. So to live by faith like Abraham, we must be patient without demanding instant gratification. And then lastly, God's people believe God's promises and are willing to sacrifice without hesitation. We're going to come back to this one a little more next week as well when we consider Isaac in the first point of next week's sermon probably. But we get a little bit of it today as well. This part of the story that might make some of us doubt the grace of God. I mean, how could a good and loving God command Abraham to sacrifice his only son? The son that he had promised to him. How could you say that God is good and be so manipulative? At least that's what some people think it looks like. Well, we need to keep in mind, again, that God's ways are not our ways. Abraham was absolutely confident that God is the God of the miraculous. Abraham told his servants at the base of the mountain, "You wait here while the boy and I will go up on that mountain and worship God, and then we will come back." When you look closely at what Abraham says in Genesis, he says, "We will go up, we will worship, and we will come back." Abraham was fully convinced that his God is the God of the miraculous. Now, I used to think, like most of us probably have, is that Abraham was expecting a substitute. I don't think that anymore. Because of Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 tells us that Abraham actually believed that God would raise him from the dead. He was going with every intention of sacrificing his son because he had every confidence that God would raise him from the dead. He had every intention of being obedient, willing to sacrifice because God told him to do so. There doesn't appear to be any hesitation whatsoever on Abraham's part. Abraham believed God, even when he did not know why God commanded him to sacrifice his son. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice, as a test from God. Now, if you know your Bible, and we'll come back to it next week, we'll spend a little time looking at it in Genesis, you'll know that God did provide a substitute. He provided that ram stuck in the thicket, and Abraham and Isaac offered that ram to God instead, as God, just in the nick of time, so to speak, stopped Abraham from sacrificing his son. But the point we see today in this passage is that Abraham did this by faith because he was confident that God would raise Isaac from the dead, because that's the son that God promised them. Abraham demonstrated a willingness to give to God the most important thing in his life without any hesitation. It's hard to sacrifice something that's important to us. It's easy to sacrifice things that aren't important. But if something is really valuable to you, something that is extremely important to you, it's hard to give that up. For some, maybe it's your money, and we withhold what rightfully belongs to God. When Abraham was willing to give to God that which was the most important thing in his life, God gave it right back to him. For some of us, the most important thing isn't our money. It's our family, or it's our career, or it's our dreams for the future. If we're afraid to trust God with our possessions or our dreams or someone in our life, then we need to step back and take another look at Abraham and his willingness to give to God that which was the most important thing in his life, the son of the promise, the son that he had been given miraculously by God, and he did not withhold him. True faith involves a willingness to sacrifice without hesitation. Now, that doesn't mean, however, that God takes pleasure in tearing things from our lives, or that God is some cruel mastermind that loves to manipulate people into doing things. What God wants to see, what gives God pleasure in seeing within us, is when we trust in His promises so deeply that we are willing to give Him anything in obedience to His commands. We're willing to live for Him. We prayed earlier in the service that we would be living sacrifices, holy and pleasing unto God, who is our reasonable act of that is our reasonable act of worship. We are to be the living sacrifices. We give ourselves willingly to God. What's more valuable to you than you? We are to give ourselves in every way because we trust God. God's people believe in God's promises. Now, there's one more thing to consider as we close. It's very interesting to me in verse 17 that God calls Isaac Abraham's only son. Now, you may have a different translation. The ESV translates that as only son. Other translations say his only begotten son or his one and only son. But if you remember the story, Isaac wasn't Abraham's only son. But he was his only begotten son. He was his most prized son. He was the one that was, this was a statement of the depth of Abraham's love for his son. But it also is a clear parallel between Isaac and Jesus. Because of God's love for you, he sacrificed his one and only son, knowing all along that he would raise him from the dead. God's people believe in God's promises and are willing to obey without fear. We're willing to be patient, be patient without instant gratification. We're willing to sacrifice without hesitation. All because we believe God. We trust Him. So I come back to what we began with. How visible is your faith? May God grant us His grace that we would obediently walk by faith, being patient and willing to sacrifice so that people will know that our God is the true God. That our God will always do what He has said that He will do. God's people believe in God's promises. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, this is challenging to try to live up to the example that Abraham set. The extreme nature of his faith truly at times is mind-boggling to us. To leave his family, to go to a place that he had no idea where he was going or how he would get there or when he would get there, but he just simply obeyed. For some of us, that is mind-boggling because we need details. We want to be in control. We don't like to submit to someone else. Oh, Father, grant us the faith to be obedient, even when we don't understand the details. It's mind-boggling to us as well as why you would wait so long. Why you would make Abraham and Sarah wait 24 years before you finally gave him Isaac. Again, Father, because we are so prone to want things instantly. And when we don't get them, we doubt you. We doubt whether or not we're really understanding these things. Oh, Father, forgive us for wanting things our way, right away, right now. Forgive us for being so impatient with you. And it's mind-boggling to us that you would command Abraham to sacrifice his son. Though when we read the account, we know, we see your plan. But even sometimes seeing your plan being fulfilled, we gloss over the command. The challenge that Abraham lived up to. His willingness to sacrifice that which was the most important thing in his life, his only son. Because he believed that you are a God of miracles. Oh Lord, grant us such faith. Grant us a willingness to obey patiently, but with absolute confidence that you are faithful. You always, always fulfill your promises. And most importantly, Father, we see it in your great love for us in Christ, that you gave your own Son that we would have life. Lord, may we make him known as we go from here today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.